Ever wonder where your city's money actually goes? I mean, beyond the tax bill you get, what does it really fund? Public safety, sure. Parks, yeah. But maybe even a city-run liquor store.
Ah, yeah, that one always gets attention.
Right. So today, we're taking a deep dive into the 2024 Popular Annual Financial Report. They call it the PAFR, for the city of Big Lake, Minnesota.
That's right. And Big Lake is genuinely proud to be releasing this. It's actually their first PAFR covering the fiscal year that ended December 31st, 2024.
First one. Okay.
Yeah. And the report's really designed to give residents, you know, stakeholders, a clear, accessible summary, basically showing where the money comes from and how those dollars get used.
So making it easier to understand than those huge, dense reports?
Exactly. It complements the more detailed one, the ACFR, that's the Annual Comprehensive Financial Report. That one was fully audited, got an unmodified opinion, which is, well, it's like a clean bill of financial health.
Good to know.
So our mission for you today is to cut through all those numbers and turn what could be pretty dense data into, well, insights you can actually use.
Okay, great. So to really get this financial roadmap, maybe we should first understand Big Lake itself a bit. What kind of community are we talking about here? And what led them to do this PAFR now?
Good question. Big Lake was incorporated way back in 1898, but it's actually one of Minnesota's younger and definitely fastest growing communities.
Oh, interesting.
Yes, northwest of Minneapolis-St. Paul. Pretty commuter friendly, spans about 8 square miles. And it's home to nearly 13,000 residents. Lots of young families. The median age is only 31.
Wow. That is young for a city median.
It is. And they really emphasize quality of life. You know, strong community ties, cultural programs, preserving nature, tech innovation, and key for us today, a real commitment to financial transparency.
And parks and stuff too, right?
Oh, yeah. 19 city parks, 20 miles of trails, even a public swimming beach. Lots of recreation.
So back to this being their first PAFR. That sounds like a deliberate choice, a specific commitment. What's the thinking behind that level of transparency?
Well, the main goal is really just demystifying city finances. Mm-hmm. They want to boost transparency and make, you know, complex financial stuff genuinely understandable and useful for regular people.
Makes sense.
And structurally, Big Lake operates as a Plan A statutory city. That just means it follows a state structure where the city council sets policy, and then a professional city administrator runs the day-to-day stuff.
Okay.
It emphasizes efficiency, professional management. They've got 54 full-time staff providing all those core city services.
All right. Now, you mentioned city finances aren't just one big pile of cash. The report talks about fund accounting. What is that exactly? How do they keep the money organized?
Right. Fund accounting is, well, think of it like the city having different piggy banks for different purposes. It's a system to make sure they follow legal rules and keep control over money that's segregated for specific things.
Okay, different buckets.
Basically, yeah. Big Lake uses two main categories. First, governmental funds. These cover general city activities, public safety, parks, the stuff usually funded by taxes and state aid.
Got it.
Then you have proprietary funds, or sometimes called enterprise funds. These are for more business-like activities, where most costs are paid back directly by user fees. Think water, sewer, utilities like that.
Okay, let's start with the governmental side then. That seems like the core services. What's the main fund there, and what does it tell us about how they pay for, say, police and fire?
Yeah, the absolute biggest fund there is the general fund. That's like the city's main operating account. It covers core services, public safety, public works, administration, you know, the essentials.
And where does the money in the general fund come from? Mostly taxes?
Primarily, yes. Property tax is the main source, making up about 66%. Two-thirds of the total general fund revenues.
Okay.
And here's something really interesting. Over half of the total property tax money the city collects goes directly to support public safety. That's the single largest spending area in the general fund.
Wow, over half just for public safety.
Yeah. The other 34% or so of the revenue comes from non-property tax sources, things like charges for services, franchise fees from utility companies, licenses and permits. And they review those fees every year to make sure they're generally covering the costs.
That paints a clear picture of the income side. But, you know, for residents, the big question is always, where does it go? Once the money's in, how does Big Lake spend it? What's the biggest slice of that general fund pie?
Good question. The largest chunk of spending, around 65% of the total general fund budget, actually goes to salaries and benefits for city staff.
Okay. Personnel costs. Makes sense.
Right. And the biggest piece of that, like we said, supports public safety staff, police, fire. If you break it down by department for 2024, public safety itself, that includes police, fire, and the building inspection division, accounted for 45% of all general fund expenses.
45%. Okay, what else?
Then you had general government, that's like administration, finance, city council at 15%. Transfers out to the capital improvement funds were 14%. Public works was 13%. Culture, like parks and rec programming, was 11%. And the Economic Development Authority, or EDA, got about 2%.
Okay, that helps visualize it. Now, besides the general fund, the report mentions special revenue funds and debt service funds. What are those for, briefly?
Sure. Special revenue funds are for money that comes from specific sources and has to be used for specific things, like legally restricted. Examples might be the farmer's market budget, or the Music in the Park series, or maybe a park dedication fund where fees from new developments go towards parks.
Gotcha. Restricted money.
Exactly. And debt service funds are, well, pretty much what they sound like. They're just for managing the money set aside to pay the principal and interest on the city's general long-term debt, like bonds.
And how are those funded?
Usually through property taxes, sometimes special assessments on properties that benefit from a specific project, and also strategic transfers from other funds. Doing that can actually help lower the overall property tax burden.
Ah, interesting connection there. Now, the report highlights something called Capital Improvement Funds, CIPs. Says they're relatively new for Big Lake, started around 2015. What's their purpose, and how do they help the city grow without just hiking taxes all the time?
Yeah, the CIPs are really important for planning ahead. They hold the money specifically set aside for buying or building major things. Think big road projects, maybe a new fire truck, or significant building upgrades, anything not paid for by those enterprise funds like water and sewer.
Okay, big ticket items.
Right. And the city council approves the specific projects funded from the CIP each year. They get money from a few places. Yearly local government aid, that's LGA, state money that helps cities, and also plan transfers from the general fund. Sometimes money comes from the enterprise funds or that park dedication fund, too.
So how do they afford those transfers from the general fund without straining the budget?
Well, this is where it gets pretty strategic. A lot of it comes down to a few things working together. One factor was an increase in the market value of the city's investments at the end of the year. Also, they had higher than expected revenue from things like building permits. They got a bit more state aid than budgeted. And honestly, the staff just manages the budget really tightly.
Oh.
Yeah, they consistently keep spending around 98% of what's budgeted, which naturally generates some savings year after year. It's just consistent fiscal responsibility.
So they're not just spending every dollar they're given.
Exactly. And that whole approach, using some investment gains, finding savings, allows them to fund these future street projects, future equipment needs, without having to raise the tax levy specifically for them. It gives them flexibility and helps keep the budget stable. It's smart planning for growth.
That does sound like a proactive strategy. Okay, shifting gears a bit. How do we look at the city's overall financial health? Like a report card. The report mentions net position and fund balance. What do those tell us?
Right, those are key indicators. Net position is basically the bottom line for the city as a whole, including all its funds, governmental, and enterprise. It's the difference between what the city owns its assets, like buildings, equipment, cash, and what it owes its liabilities, like debts and accounts payable.
Assets minus liabilities, got it.
Yep. A positive net position, which Big Lake has, means assets are greater than liabilities. For 2024, about 59% of their net position was their investment in capital assets, roads, buildings, pipes. Another 17% was restricted for specific uses, and the remaining 24% was unrestricted, meaning it's available for ongoing obligations.
Okay, and fund balance. That sounds related but different.
It is. Fund balance applies specifically to the governmental funds, like the general fund. It represents the resources available in those funds at the end of the year. The really crucial number here is the unassigned fund balance within the general fund. At the end of 2024, that stood at $4.64
million. $4.6 million. So why is that specific number, the unassigned balance, so important for residents? What does it mean practically?
It's incredibly important. Think of it as the city's primary rainy day fund or financial safety net within the main operating fund. Big Lake's $4.64 million is well above the city council's own target range, which is to keep that balance between 42% and 50% of the next year's budgeted general fund spending.
So they have a policy for how big that cushion should be.
They do. And consistently exceeding it is a very good sign. It's a critical safeguard against, you know, unexpected drops in revenue, maybe delays in state funding coming through, or major emergency costs like storm damage.
Right. Things you can't always predict.
Exactly. It helps sustain core services during tough times, like we saw during the housing market crash years ago, or more recently with the pandemic. It ensures the resources are there.
What helped them keep that balance so strong in 2024?
A few key things contributed. They got about $150,000 more in state aid for police, fire, and street work than they'd budgeted for. Investment returns were stronger than expected, too. That included about $435,000 from a fair market value adjustment. Now, it's important to note, that specific adjustment isn't like actual cash ready to spend immediately. It's more like unrealized gains on investments, but it still reflects a healthy portfolio.
Okay, so paper gains, but still positive.
Right. And then there were those budget savings we talked about, over $81,000 saved in the streets budget and almost $125,000 saved in the parks budget. It all adds up.
Definitely. Okay, let's talk property taxes directly. That's what most people connect with city finances. How is the part of your tax bill that goes to Big Lake actually used, and maybe more importantly for many, how does their tax rate compare to nearby cities?
Yeah, property taxes are definitely the main funding source for the day-to-day city services. And it's key to remember, the city only gets the amount it actually levies the amount it specifically asks for. For 2024, that total levy was about $5.6 million.
And how was that $5.6 million divided up?
The lion's share, about 81% or $4.5 million, went straight into the general fund to pay for all the services we discuss: police, fire, roads, parks, administration.
Okay.
Then about 16%, roughly $880,000, went to the debt service funds to make payments on general city debt. A small slice, 2% or $130,000, went to support the Big Lake Economic Development Authority, the BLADA. And the final 1%, about $57,000, was for a property tax abatement program.
So here's a question I think really helps people understand. When you look at your entire property tax bill, the one that includes the county and the school district too, how much of each dollar actually stays with the city of Big Lake?
That's a fantastic question. And the breakdown is pretty stark. Approximately 30 cents out of every property tax dollar you pay stays with the city of Big Lake.
Only 30 cents.
Only about 30 cents. That covers public safety, parks, streets, general city admin, all the direct city services. The other 70 cents gets divided up. Roughly 30 cents goes to the county, and the biggest piece, about 40 cents, goes to the school district.
Wow. So the city controls less than a third of your total bill.
Precisely. It really highlights where your local control lies when it comes to taxes.
Okay. So how does Big Lake's 30 cents stack up? Compared to other similar cities, are Big Lake residents paying more or less in city property taxes?
That's where it gets quite favorable for Big Lake residents. Using the city's proposed 2025 tax rate for comparison, and looking at a hypothetical $400,000 home, the total property tax bill in Big Lake is actually projected to be slightly below the average of comparable cities.
A low average? Okay.
Yeah. Big Lake's total property tax on that home would be about $4,886, while the average for similar cities is around $4,940. But here's the crucial part. The city of Big Lake's portion of that tax bill is only $1,588.
$1,500 out of almost $5,000 total.
Right. And that $1,588 is significantly lower than the average city portion in those comparable communities, which is $1,828.
So the city part of the tax is quite a bit less than average.
Considerably less. And it's so important to remember, the city council only controls that city portion. They don't set the rates for the county or the school district. So they're keeping their part relatively low compared to peers.
That's a really helpful comparison. Now let's switch to those business type activities, the enterprise funds. You mentioned utilities and
yeah.
The city run liquor store. Tell us about those. What happened there in 2024?
Right. Enterprise funds cover services where most of the cost is supposed to be covered by user fees, not general taxes. Big Lake has four: water, sewer, stormwater, and the liquor store.
Let's start with the liquor store. How did that do?
The liquor store fund actually made a pretty significant contribution to the general fund in 2024, $450,000.
Wow, nearly $500,000 transferred over.
Yep. That directly helps offset the need for property taxes. So it keeps the levy lower than it otherwise would be. Sales were down just a tiny bit, less than 1% compared to 2023, but it still finished the year with a 1% net profit.
So it's profitable and helps reduce taxes.
Exactly. And it really highlights that continued support from residents using the store allows the city to rely on these transfers. Without them, they'd likely face raising the levy or potentially cutting some services. It's a direct benefit back to the taxpayers.
Okay, what about the utilities, water, sewer, stormwater?
Well, water usage actually went down by about 13% in 2024, mostly because it was a pretty rainy season. Water rates stayed the same as 2023. And because development activity slowed down a bit, the fees collected for new water connections and trunk lines decreased by about $370,000.
Makes sense with less building. How about sewer?
Wastewater, or sewer sales, actually saw a noticeable increase. That was mainly due to a large one-time payment of nearly $600,000 from a significant industrial user. Sewer rates also stayed the same in 2024.
And stormwater?
The Storm Sewer Fund saw a small increase in revenues, mostly just due to better earnings on its investments.
Okay, so utility rates were stable in 2024. But the report does mention potential reasons why water and sewer rates might need to go up in the future. What's driving that possibility?
There are two main drivers, really. First, wastewater treatment standards set by the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. The MPCA keep getting stricter, basically every year.
Regulations.
Right. And these often become, effectively, unfunded mandates. The state requires cleaner discharge, but the cost falls directly on the city and its utility ratepayers. The second factor is that the bill is coming due, so to speak, on the debt taken out years ago to build their major facilities.
Which facilities?
Their municipal water treatment facility, built back in 2006 for $9 million, and the wastewater treatment facility, built in 2011 for $15.5 million. That wastewater plant was crucial, specifically to meet those evolving MPCA standards that their older plant couldn't handle anymore. So the bond payments for those big projects are a significant ongoing cost.
So, stricter rules and paying off the necessary upgrades. But does Big Lake have an advantage here compared to other towns?
They really do. Because they made those significant investments relatively recently, their facilities are modern, compliant, and importantly, have the capacity to handle the city's growth and attract new industries.
So they're not scrambling to upgrade old systems like some places might be.
Exactly. They're positioned well. They're avoiding the really painful, costly infrastructure catch-up that some neighboring communities are facing right now. And they're already planning ahead for the next phase, looking at fiscally responsible ways to expand the wastewater facility down the road, actively seeking state and federal funding to help with that.
Good foresight. Okay, finally, let's look at the city's long-term picture through its debt. How much debt does Big Lake carry, and what does that tell us about their overall fiscal management?
Sure. At the end of fiscal year 2024, the city had a total bonded debt outstanding of about $18.7 million.
Okay. Is that high? Low? What's the trend?
Well, here's the key takeaway. The total outstanding debt actually decreased by almost $3.8 million during 2024. And perhaps even more importantly, the city did not issue any new debt at all during 2024.
Decreased debt and no new debt. In a growing city. That sounds positive.
It's very positive. It signals really strong fiscal discipline. They're paying down existing obligations without taking on more.
Mm.
And complementing that is the city's bond rating. Standard & Poor's gives Big Lake a very strong AA rating.
And what does that AA rating mean, practically?
It means rating agencies see Big Lake as having strong financial management, good liquidity, meaning cash available, solid budgetary flexibility, and that healthy fund balance we talked about. It's basically a stamp of approval on their financial health and responsible handling of public money. And crucially, a higher rating like AA means the city pays lower interest rates when it does need to borrow money, which saves taxpayers money over the long term.
Excellent. So wrapping this all up, we've really peeled back the layers on Big Lake's finances today. We looked at their new PAFR, which boosts transparency, saw how they strategically use things like investment gains for capital projects, and how this young, growing city is managing its budget, funding public safety, and planning for the future, all while keeping city property taxes relatively competitive and their facilities up to date.
Yeah, and maybe a final thought for you listening is to consider how these deliberate strategies, like maintaining that strong unassigned fund balance, or making those careful transfers to the capital funds, how those things directly impact your property tax bill and the quality of services you rely on long term. Ask yourself, what specific city service do you value most?
Yeah.
And does understanding how it's funded maybe change your perspective on it a little?
That's a great point. Hopefully, with the insights from today's deep dive, you feel better equipped to look at your own local city reports and understand what's going on behind the numbers. You might be surprised what you find.